And next one, I had a chance to talk to our expert Shan Syed yesterday about Wall Street performance and high inflation advance in countries. Interestingly, he pointed out how people on the 70s deal with high inflation as compared to now. So let's take a look at this interview. Wall Street Journal ran a piece with the title How Previous Generations Handled Inflation Crisis, dated July 30 until 30th this year. Since World War II, U.S. Alone has experienced three great inflations, i.e. in the year 1946 until 1948, and then 1974 until 1975. Also, the third one is 1979 until 1981. All right, and the 18.1% inflation rate in December 1946 remains one of the highest ever recorded in the USA. And Wall Street Journal, dated July 30 until 31st this year, said recession and inflation are eroding the money of millions. And now let's look at the Eurozone, where recession fears grows as business activity declines. And according to latest report from Financial Times newspaper dated August 23rd this year, mentioning Citibank, UK inflation would touch 18.6% next January. So the real question here is how to handle inflation to make smart investment decisions move. All right, we have joining us today, this morning, Shan Syed, the Chief Economist, Juwai IQI. Good morning, Shan.
Good morning.
All right, the first question is, it's happening in advanced economies, stagflation, recession and higher global debt, supply chain hiccups and above all, uncertainty in the global economy. What key lessons Asian consumers can draw from the experience of advanced economies, and how effective is a monetary policy?
I think it clearly gives signal to Asian consumers that macroeconomic stability is the key. Economic confidence should be there in the economy. And one thing that is quite significant that clearly differentiates between advanced economies and emerging economy is QE. QE has never worked in the recorded history. QE has borrowed future growth rate. So the main problem with advanced economies is not the printing of money. It is the velocity of money that causes inflation. If you see, the 2 months back, Economist magazine, 25th June, ran an article, The Island of Price Stability. And it talks about the great schism between inflation rate in advanced economies and inflation rate in emerging economy. And it did mention about Malaysia. Malaysia was far down. So there's a clear signal that inflation in advanced economies will continue to stay elevated. It will remain stubborn. It will remain serious. On the other hand, inflation in Asian countries will remain on the lower side. It boils down to one thing, that monetary policy has a key role to play in fighting inflation. So I think, in my opinion, Asian central banks, they have clearly done a good job in maintaining price stability, growth stability. And that is the key lesson, that monetary policy has become very significant and central banks have taken a key role in delivering economic outcomes.
All right, let's be real. Investors have actually lost more than $41 trillion in the equity markets globally. Bonds yields are rising amid high interest rates. Which asset class should investors follow in order to comprehend the markets and their forward outlook better?
Everybody knows that I follow the debt market very closely, because the debt market gives you a lot of forward guidance in terms of interest rate outlook, in terms of policy lever that the central bank will undertake. It gives you a clear indication what is coming into the market in terms of recessionary pressure. It gives you a lot of insight about the growth outlook. It gives you a lot of insight what will happen in the commodities landscape, in housing market, in currency market. So investors should follow and pay key attention to the bond yields. And the bond yields, you know, give you a signal that what is coming and what can be expected in the market in terms of policy lever. So investors, if they want to fathom what is happening in the global financial markets, if they just follow the debt market, I think that is good enough.
Mm-hmm. Shan, let's go way back to 1970. Which asset class came out to be the winner? Period from 1976 to 1981 had a lot of hiccups in the market. Would you elaborate on that? And in the current situation, which asset class remains on the investors' portfolio?
We did mention in our November 2020 newsletter that advanced economies would be heading for stagflation, and we are back to 1970. And what is witnessing right now in the present moment is exactly what happened in 1970, but with a different twist and turn. In 1970, there were three asset classes that remain on the global investors' radar: the commodities, especially gold and silver, the real estate, and the bond market. We had oil shock in 1973, and we had oil shock in 1979. And during the present era, we had oil shock in 2021, and again, we have oil shock in 2022. I give you a small example what happened in 1970s. Gold was trading at $35 per ounce. By 1976, gold was trading at $150 per ounce. So that was a clear 328% increase. And on 20th January 1980, gold was trading at $850 per ounce. So if you take from 1971 to 1980, gold appreciated almost 2,328%. And in 1981, gold dropped to $600 per ounce. So if you take 1976 to 1981, gold appreciated 300%. So most of those sophisticated and smart investors who understand history and economics, they took position in real estate, gold, silver, and of course, bond. The current scenario is more or less the same. Bond yields are rising because the interest rates are going up. 80 central banks have raised interest rates this year. So now you have the bond market, you have real estate, you have gold, silver, and now cash has become very important. If you see, Warren Buffett has taken a long position in cash, and cash has become an important asset class because it gives you economic and financial power, especially to take position in those distressed assets. And you can take a long-term position in those distressed assets, and it gives you a very fine return in the long run. So I think 1970 is replaying in a different fashion, but it's more or less the same. So if investors, they want to know what is going to come in the next 6 to 12 months, they should read 1970 era, and it gives you a lot of picture what can be expected in the financial market in the next 6 to 12 months.
Since you mentioned about investors just now, what can you advise to Malaysian investors should analyze in the future, considering preserving and protecting their wealth as we navigate through tumultuous times ahead? So what's the street smart strategy or approach that you can advise them?
Oh, yes, that's a good one. Street smart strategy for Malaysian investors. Malaysian investors should gather as much information as they can, you know, follow the newspapers, follow what the sovereign wealth funds are doing, follow what the central banks are doing, follow what the family offices are doing. If you have made money in bonds, just stick to bonds. If you have made money in real estate, stick to real estate. If you have made money in real estate, in equity market, just stick to equity market. Stay in that asset class where you have got the expertise. Don't go to another asset class where you have zero expertise. So the key to understanding the market is gathering market intelligence report. Gather information from the banks, from your friends, from your peers, you know, and all that information. And then once you have done your homework, only then jump into that asset class where you have got enough market intelligence report. So I think gathering information has become quite relevant in these tumultuous times.
Mm-hmm. Okay, finally, from your opinion as an economist, right, what can you advise to us as consumers to expect in the future, and also how to handle this inflation in general?
I think take position in tangible assets. You know, don't go to any fancy asset class. Go to real estate, go to gold, silver, arts, luxury goods, where you can, you know, control your financial destiny. Don't give your financial destiny to someone else that you don't have the trust. If you control your financial destiny, you will be able to navigate through these turbulent times, because I think 2023 will be tougher than 2022. So I think taking position in tangible assets will give you peace of mind rather going through sleepless nights.
All right. Thank you so much, Shan, for your insights. And that was Shan Zaid, the chief economist, Juwai IQI.